42. I felt very strongly about the message I'm going to share tonight that goes with our series that we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, Come to Worship. It turned to Psalm 142. Didn't the children do a wonderful job this morning? Weren't they great? When you see one of the children, just tell them that they did a great job. Thank them. Psalm 142. I'm going to read from verses 1 through to 5. Once again, if you've been following our series, we started last week. We talked about the raising of hands. David again in Psalm 142. He's in a cave. He's running for his life. He's surrounded by a bunch of trouble. Everyone say a bunch of trouble. He's got a lot of trouble surrounding him. And David actually refers to this cave, he refers to it as a prison. He wasn't in a good place. And let's read what David says. I cried unto the Lord. Everybody say the Lord. I didn't cry out to anyone else, no. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. I told God all of my trouble. I want you to read those two verses again because they're very important. David at a very, very low point in his life. He's at such a low point in his life. David cries out to God with his voice. Verse 2, it says, David pours out his complaints. David says, I'm pouring out my complaints to you, God. I showed before him my trouble. He told God all of his complaints. He told God all of his trouble. He said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have thy privilege laid a snare for me. I looked on my right and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Has anyone ever felt like you're in that situation where it's just like nobody wants to even know me? David says, I'm in a tough place. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. But I cried unto thee, O Lord. And I said, God, you are my refuge. And you are my portion in the land of the living. After all that I'm going through, after all the trouble, after pouring out my complaints, after talking about how my spirit is overwhelmed, David says, I cried unto God. And I told him, I said, God, you are my refuge. You are my portion in the land of the living. I want to speak tonight, continuing our series on Come to Worship. I want to talk about pouring out your heart in worship. Pouring out your heart. Can everyone say pouring out your heart? Pouring out your heart. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your presence that is in this place. Lord, I thank you for every soul that's here today. Lord God, there are no coincidences, Lord, with you. Lord, you want to speak. Lord, you want to deliver. You want to save today. Lord, you want to do a work. And so, Lord, we want to move out of the way. Lord, make our hard hearts, make them soft. Lord, that we would be receptive to your word today. Lord, that we allow your word to penetrate deep into our lives and to change and to work. Lord, because your word says that your word will never return void. We trust, oh God, that you're going to do a mighty work. And let faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Last week, we read a portion of scripture from Psalms. We're going to conclude tonight with communion. But last week we talked about the lifting of our hands. Somebody once said to me, they said, Pentecostals, you're those guys that lift your hands. Well, in the Bible, they lifted their hands in worship. David said, I lift my hands to you, Lord. And so lifting of the hands can mean two things in our society. In fact, the lifting of the hands means victory. And the lifting of the hands can also mean surrender. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Victory and surrender. And to the world, they're two different things. But to God, when you lift your hands, you get victory through surrender. And so a lot of times we're fighting battles that we don't need to fight, that we're wrestling with things that we don't need to wrestle with. We just need to lift our hands and say, God, I surrender to you, through the lifting of our hands. The Bible talks about a number of ways that we can worship him. The first word for worship is the word barak, which means to kneel. To kneel before the Lord and to bow our knees and to kneel on the ground is one way that we can worship God, to bless God, to bow down and to kneel. Another word in the Bible for worship is the word halal, which means to rave and to celebrate. When we rave about God, when we talk about how great he is, when we celebrate, when we are clear and when we let him shine, we are worshiping. Then the word shabak, which means to shout loudly. That's another way we can worship God, through shouting his greatness. Then there's tehillah, which means to sing out of the Spirit spontaneously. Now, very often in our services, very often I'll just ask people, just begin to worship the Lord. Sometimes I might even say, don't be limited to the words of the song, but just begin to worship God. And so that means just make a song. Sing out of your spirit spontaneously. Oh God, you are so good. I worship you. And maybe the music's playing and we just make up our own song. That's the word tehillah. And then there's the word zamar, which means to make music with instruments. And that is also worship. But today I want to talk about something that we may never have thought of as a form of worship. If we can grasp tonight what I'm talking about this type of worship, if we can grasp it, I believe that we can experience an intimacy with God that we've never experienced before. I believe that we can begin to know God like we've never known him before. At this time of year, we sing songs and about being happy and merry and all of those sort of things. And maybe for many, and I know this for many, that sometimes this Christmas time can be a time when everyone's meant to be happy. You just feel the pressure almost to be happy. But the reality is, and I know as a pastor, that not everybody's happy. Not everybody's merry. Some people are having a lot of troubles. You know, our problems just don't go away because it's December. Some of our problems are worse at December. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do with the family. You know, they haven't been talking for 5 years. And I don't like Auntie so-and-so. And I don't like my cousin this. And you know, Uncle Bob is this. And what are we going to do? Where are we going to have lunch? And all of these things, it becomes very difficult for us. And sometimes I was reading an article. For many, Christmas Day can be like an anticlimax. There's this big build-up to this great day. And it's just another day. With troubles, our troubles don't go away. Lots of people experience family stress, financial stress. Lots of people experience loneliness. But we're meant to be merry. We're meant to be joyful. We're meant to be happy. But if I was to ask you and you were to respond honestly, is that what all of us are experiencing right now? Maybe not. Maybe you're here tonight and you've got a lot of trouble right now in your life. Maybe you're having loneliness. Maybe you're in a place where you feel like you're in a valley. It seems like you're like David. It feels like you're in a prison and nobody even wants to know you. Personal problems are keeping you from experiencing joy. Feeling like just one crisis after another. Feeling like the crisis is you're not facing it. The crisis has run you over. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or you guys all good? Maybe we know somebody that's like that. Anybody know somebody that might be having some troubles? Yeah, anybody know someone else? Not us, but you know, maybe we know somebody. Got a friend. It's funny, as a pastor, sometimes people come and ask for advice. Like, Pastor, I've got some advice. I need some advice from my friend. I'm like, maybe it's them that they're asking for. But you know, with the avalanche of problems we experience, and the trouble we experience, this could be a very, very hard time for some people. And maybe you say, like, God, do you care about the way I'm feeling? Does God care about me? Can I be truthful to God about what I'm feeling right now? Would it be wrong for me to tell God, things aren't joyful right now. Things are very difficult. Is that all right, Pastor? Is that all right, God, to just pour out my heart and even my complaints to you about how I'm feeling? Can I pour out my complaint to God? Or would I be better in the presence of God just to say, you know what, I'm all good? You know, people say that now, all good, all good. Can I be truthful before God? I'm in church today and I wonder, can I just pour out my heart to God and tell Him exactly what's happening and tell Him exactly how I feel? Can I pour out my heart to God? And some people may not think that pouring out your heart to God or even pouring out your complaints to God is a form of worship. But I believe today that if our hearts can get involved in worship to the point where we are pouring out our feelings, we are pouring out our heartache, that we can connect with God in such a powerful, in such a real, and in such an intimate way when we pour out our heart to God. For some, when you can pour out your heart, you can be able to worship God like never before. When you're overwhelmed by God's goodness, pour out your heart in worship. God, you've been so good to me. I thank you, Jesus. You know, but you know, when everything's good, we don't have a problem with pouring out our heart in worship. When we're overwhelmed by the blessings of God, we pour out our heart in worship. But let me flip the coin. When you're feeling flat, pour out your heart to God. When you're feeling down, pour out your heart to God. When you're feeling stressed, pour out your heart to God. When it feels like everything and everybody seems to be against you, pour out your heart to God. When you're feeling lonely, you can pour out your heart to God because He is always with you. He said, "Lo, I am with you always." So maybe you're the one today that's in a difficult season. God is speaking to you. People that have lost loved ones in the last 12 months. People who are worrying about their children. Maybe today you're worried about your employment. Maybe you're looking at the bank balance and it's not adding up and you know the bills are coming. Maybe you're afraid. For whatever reason, you're afraid. Maybe you're worried about your visa to stay in Australia. Maybe there's all sorts of trouble going on in your heart. I want to tell you, you can pour out your heart to God. Psalm 142, we read it. I'm going to read it in a different version. David said, "I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before Him. I tell Him all my troubles. When I am overwhelmed, You alone, God, know the way that I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. I look for somebody to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Then I pray to You, Lord, and I say, You are my refuge. You are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life." Pouring out our heart to God in worship. David is at a low point. He doesn't cry to others. It's all right to talk about your problems to somebody, and I encourage you to do that. But make sure you talk to God as well. When my spirit is overwhelmed, he says my spirit, not just my mind. Sometimes our mind can become overwhelmed. So we've got so much stuff going on at work, we just can't fit another thing in our mind. Our mind is going crazy. But David says, not just my mind, but my spirit, my emotions, not just external stuff overwhelming me, but now I've got this internal feeling of just being overwhelmed, my emotions, my heart. I am completely overwhelmed. And then David calls God something very special. He says, "God, You are my refuge. You are all I really want and all I really need." Psalm 62 verse 8 says, "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." God is our safe place. Has anyone got a safe place where you just feel safe? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. God is our safe place. I remember when I was young, holding my dad's hand, I was in my safe place. Wherever I was, doesn't matter if there was a big dog that I was scared of. If I had dad's hand, I was fine. I had his hand, he was my safe place. If I had my blue blanket, and I still got the blue blanket, had a shiny edge on it, little satin edge. It was a blue blanket, and if I was just holding that, I felt safe. If I had my blue bunny, I had something about blue, you know. I still got that blue bunny. If I had that blue bunny, I felt safe. When I was a kid, unfortunately, my dad had a habit of telling me stories. He told me the story about the fox under my bed. Anyone ever had a fox under their bed? Anyone remember their parents telling? Is it just my dad that told me I had a fox under my bed? He wanted me to stay in bed, you know. So dad, you know, dad's not very sensitive. Mums are much better, you know, with kids. Dad's like, don't get out of bed because there's a fox going to bite you. Right, staying in bed. You know, and I was laying there, and while dad was in the room, the fox was fine, you know. The fox didn't have a problem with me. I didn't have a problem with the fox. I wasn't scared, but as soon as dad walked out, my safe place, I was like, uh-oh, here comes the fox. If I so much just put my hand over the edge, that fox is going to get my hand. And I remember like needing to go to the toilet and standing up on my bed and like jumping as far as I can from the bed because I was just imagining the fox under the bed going, you know. Some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you didn't have a fox, maybe a monster or something. Our mum and dad, but when mum and dad walked into the room, everything was good. I was in my safe place. I still call my mum and dad when I'm in trouble. And I hope my kids call me when they're in trouble. I had a thought the other day, and my son Lachlan's here, he's 12 and he's going into high school. And I was walking through the shops and something just clicked. I was walking through the shops with him. He wasn't walking through the shops with me. So we're walking through the shops, and once upon a time, Alpha, he was always holding my hand, and we'd walk along like this. Now he's walking 2 meters in front of me, and I'm just hanging out by myself, you know. And I thought to myself, I don't think he needs me anymore. And I started to think about that. He's growing up and I want him to need me. I do. I want him to grow up. I want him to be independent. But I want him to need me. I want him to call me if he's in trouble. I desperately want him to need me. Because as parents, we love to be needed, don't we, secretly? Yeah, even if they're just asking for money, we love to be needed. A lot of parents have problems when their kids get their license. They're like, oh, you don't need me to drive you anymore? What am I going to do? My whole life was taken up driving you around and now you're just off on your merry way. Darling, they don't need us anymore. I would submit to you today that our Heavenly Father loves to be needed by us. I submit to you that He loves to be needed by you. He loves for you, His child, to call on Him and to, as it were, as David said, to pour out your complaints, to pour out your heart, and to come to God and ask Him for help. God says, I love to be needed. I love to be wanted. I love it when you pour out your heart to me. You know, He already knows everything about us. But He loves it when we talk to Him about how much we need Him. You know, don't think that He's like somebody else, some other people like, come on, just stop telling me all your troubles. You're stressing me out. You know, some people, they stress us out. But God can handle your cries. God can handle your complaints. God loves it when you talk to Him about your troubles. And when you say, God, I need You. You are my refuge. You are my strength. And I submit to you today that when we pour out our heart to God and when we tell God, I'm in trouble. And God, things aren't just going right. God, You are my refuge and strength. When we pour out our heart to Him, that we are worshiping Him in a way that we could never worship Him. And that our worship can go to a level that it's never been before when we begin to pour out our hearts to God. And we live in such a superficial world. That's why we got like, you know, anyone asks you how you're going, before you even think, you just say, yeah, good. Because we're in our mind. We can't tell anybody how we really feel. Have you had a good week? Yeah, all good, man. Really? See, we've been programmed to think that the only thing people want to hear from us is good news and when everything's going well, that we can't tell anybody how we really feel. Well, that's not the way our God is. God says, I want you to pour your heart out to me. I want to be needed. I want to know that you need me. I want to know that I am your refuge. I want to know that I am your safe place. You see, as a child, you have your safe place. You have your safe things. But with God, He's got to be your safe person, as it were. He's got to be the person that you feel safe with. Say, God, I need You. You are my refuge and You are my strength. And so in a moment, and I'm not going to go very much longer now, but we're going to have a chance just to pour out our heart to God. Some people here today need to worship God by pouring out their heart. Even your trouble, and saying, God, this is what's happening, but You are my refuge. You are my strength. God, this is where I am right now. I need Your help. And we might combine the pouring of our heart out with the raising of our hands and surrender. And through surrender, we're going to find the victory. And when we close out tonight's service, I want you to remember, number one, God's faithfulness in the past. Everyone say, God's faithfulness. Sometimes when we're facing a big trouble, a big trial, a big circumstance, sometimes we forget about what God's done in the past for us. Wherever you are today, whatever troubles you face right now, remember God's faithfulness in the past. That's what Paul was saying when he said, I can do all things through Christ. He was looking back over his life and he said, you know what? When I look at all these circumstances, God was with me the whole time. He was my strength. I can do all things through Christ. I can go forward because He is my strength. And so remember God's faithfulness in the past. In Lamentations chapter 3, look at this. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 19. Jeremiah, the writer of Lamentations, he spends 20 verses just laying out his pain, his anguish, and his complaints. Look at this. Lamentations 3 verse 19 says, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance as is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind when I remember what God has done in the past. Therefore have I hope. I have hope. In the middle of his desperate cry, his soul begins to recall the goodness of God. And some of us, right where we are today, we need to begin to recall the goodness of God. And thank God, Lord, You brought me through that. You can bring me through this. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You were big enough then. You're still big enough now. You know what, God? You're not in trouble. I may be in trouble, but You're never in trouble. And then he says in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. After 20 verses of pouring out his heart, pouring out his complaints, then he begins to get hope by remembering the faithfulness of God. And when hope comes, he remembers the mercy of God. He says, great is Thy faithfulness. Right now, I'm in a difficult situation, but great is Your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every day. So sometimes we've got to look back and say, God, I remember when you forgave my sin. I remember when you changed my heart. I remember when you healed a relationship. I remember a time when I was hurting and I was alone, and I went to my Bible and I read a verse, and God, it was like you were speaking just to me. God, when I think of your faithfulness, I think about a time when I came to church, and in my distress, I walked into church and it was like the message was written, a handwritten note to me. Anybody ever been in that situation? Don't worry, our doctors are going to look after that situation. Our sister's not well tonight. Anyone ever been in that situation where God just spoke at the right time? The next thing I want you to remember while we worship God is to trust in God's power for the future. To remember God's faithfulness in the past. And number two, to trust in God's power for the future. Psalm 102 says, Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my plea. Don't turn away from me in my time of distress. Bend down to listen and answer me quickly when I call to you, God. For my days disappear like smoke and my bones burn like red hot coals. My heart is sick, withered like grass. I have lost my appetite. Because of my groaning, I am reduced to skin and bones. I am like an owl. Can you hear the trouble? I am like an owl in the desert. Like a little owl in the far-off wilderness, I lie awake, lonely as a solitary bird on the roof. Mine enemies taunt me day after day. They mock me and they curse me. I eat ashes for food. My tears run down into my drink. Because of your anger and wrath, you have picked me up and thrown me out. My life passes as sweetly as the evening shadows. I am withering away like the grass. But you, O God, everyone say, but. But you, O God, will sit on your throne forever. Your fame will endure to every generation. God, I'm going to remember your faithfulness in past times. Lord Jesus, I'm going to remember your power to help me in my future. I'm going to remember your faithfulness in the past, and I'm going to remember your power in the future. Maybe that's you today. You say, God, I don't understand. Don't understand, Lord, why I have to go through what I'm going through right now. But God, you are faithful. Lord, when I think about all you've done in times past, your faithfulness. Lord God, you've never failed me yet. You're not about to fail me now. I don't have the ability right now, God. I don't know the way, but God, you are all powerful. Lord Jesus, I choose to put my trust in you. When I feel alone, Lord, you're still faithful. Lord, you said, lo, I am with you always. Lord, I'm going to remember that right now. Lord, when everybody says I'm meant to be happy and merry and all of these things, I don't really feel it right now, but God, your faithfulness is new every day. I'm going to remember what you've done in the past. I'm going to trust your power for my future. I'm going to pour out my heart to you, God. I'm going to tell you exactly where I'm at. And I'm going to say, God, I need your help. See, we've reduced worship to something that we only do when everything's going well. And sometimes God sits there and he says, they don't need me anymore. You don't need me anymore. I mean, I saved you. I delivered you. And I picked you up out of the miry clay. I changed your life. I set you free. I put you on a new path, God says. And now, you don't need me. You're all growing up now and you don't need me. God says, I want to be your refuge. I want to be your strength. I want you to pour out your heart to me. And when we begin to pour out our heart, that is one of the most intimate ways that we can worship God. Right now, I believe God's going to speak to somebody. Somebody right now is going to experience the presence of God like they've never felt. Right now, you know, you've been struggling with all of the problems that you're facing. And even, I believe there's somebody here today that you've been wrestling with thoughts in your mind. You need to lay them down and say, God, I need you. I can't overcome this in my own strength. God, I need you to help me. We need to be honest today. to push through the pain and say, God, this is where I'm at. To push through that pain of pouring out our complaint to God and then allowing that point to go where we come and begin to praise Him. Like David did, but thou, O God, you are a refuge for me. Lord God, this is where I'm at right now. This is the way I'm feeling. God, can I just be honest in your presence? Can I tell you, God, how much I need you? God, you are my refuge and strength. And I'm going to praise you, God, for your faithfulness in times past. I'm going to praise you, God, because you have power to help me in the future. You're never going to leave me or forsake me. Maybe there's financial pain right now. God is faithful. God will provide. You feel rejected today. Let me tell you, God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Tell God how you feel, but then tell Him, Lord, I need you. Maybe you've got medical issues today. God is your healer. You're like, everything's merry, everything's happy, but God, are you okay if I just tell you how I really feel? How did I get to where I am now? God, I'm really scared where I am right now. God, I don't know what to do. I'm just pouring out my complaint to you, God. God says, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. Pour out your heart to God in worship. So I walk through that shop, and I'm noticing more and more, just following my son through the shops. Okay, yeah, we're going to Rebel. All right, Rebel Sport. We're going to go get... Where are we going for lunch? All right. He's just all by himself. All growing up. Listen, doesn't matter how old you get, you're still a child of God. He's still your daddy. You can still call Abba Father. And I tell you, when you call out Daddy, Daddy, he runs. Why? Because he loves to be needed. And when you tell God how much you need Him, when you pour out your complaint to Him like David did, you go to another level of worship. It's just like opening up your heart, saying, God, here it is. He had a saying, warts and all. This is how I feel right now, God. But you are my refuge and strength. Let's all stand right now. Somebody needs to just open up their heart. Somebody needs to pour out their heart to God right now. Don't be afraid. You've said to yourself, is it okay, God? Can I just be really truthful right now about how I feel? Can I just pour out my heart, God? Can I tell you that I'm afraid? Can I tell you, God, I don't know? Can I tell you, God, that I don't know how? Can I tell you, God, that I'm scared? Can I tell you, God, that I'm lonely? Can I tell you, God, that I feel sick? Can I just pour out my heart to you in worship right now, Jesus? I'm going to call on you, God, because you are my refuge and you are my strength. And somebody right now is going to go to a new level in worship. Someone right now is going to go to a new level in their intimacy with God. God says, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. Come on, lift your hands right now in surrender, because victory comes through surrender. And just begin to pour out your heart to God right now. Come on, somebody. Just begin to say it right now. Tell God how you feel. Oh, God, I need your help. God says, I want to be needed. I want to be needed by you, my child.